Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 5th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I am doing great. I'm back on home turf here, ready to go.
Home turf. I mean, I don't know. Some could argue that maybe your home turf is now Florida, and you're back and you're kind of on spring break somewhere, or your summer home, or something like that, up in Chicago. You've been in Florida for so long. You're summering in Chicago, in the exurbs or suburbs of Chicago. So, but that's good. It's good to have you back. You survived the drive with your baby in tow. Everything got along all right?
Okay. She's an angel. She just says she killed it. So, you made it back.
You made it through the time zone shifts. I was talking to you on, I want to say, Thursday. And you were just, felt like you were kind of in the vortex there. You're like, you were painting back and forth from Central to Eastern in Tennessee. Right?
And Georgia. I was crossing state borders, crossing back, crossing time zones, crossing back. My clocks didn't even know what was going on. My car, one clock was right, one clock was wrong. Everybody was confused.
You were all over. You were talking to me on the phone. Your head was spinning. The one clock was catching up. One clock was not. But I'm glad you made it back. And now you are fully entrenched, feet on the ground in Central Time Zone.
Ready to go. Ready for the Masters. Great. I mean, what a great day of golf today. It was incredible. Weekend. Great weekend of golf.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's do a couple business things here. First
what
off.
Business things?
Well, we got to...
Our business is talking about golf.
We will absolutely forget. It's not business, but this is something we always forget. A, Westy Island shirts, a few are left. There are some green-related items at the top of the shop. And B, we got to say, hey, we're doing no Bixby House on the ground in Augusta, but we are doing a virtual Bixby House party Friday afternoon during coverage. You can... it's like a big video chat. You can call in. You can jump in. We can admit you. You can ask questions on video. Maybe you can do it anonymously. Maybe you can do it over text. The actual Bixby boys, Niles, Remington out in LA may join. So we'll have a whole little party going on Friday afternoon. But you must be a subscriber to the Shotgun Start Blend. So if you're a subscriber, we have your email.
Or the Westy Island Blend.
Or the Westy Island Blend. We will send you that whole email list. This link,
you go
to
BixbyCoffee.com and then you sign up there. Become a subscriber for the Shotgun Start Blend or the Westy Island Blend,
which is light roast. And then Friday for kind of a happy hour-ish time, we'll have a sort of, it's not Zoom, but it'll be a nice fun party. All right. Great day. Fantastic day of golf.
Splendid.
Let's start with the first major championship of the year. Patty Tavatanakit. Tavatanakit wins the A&A Inspiration at Mission Hills, takes the leap into Poppy's Pool. A nice leap, had a little twist, a little kick.
Almost a cannonball.
Very athletic. It wasn't just kind of like, you know, she tumbled in there. Sometimes it's not the most athletic maneuver some of these caddies and players do, but they had good height and good moves. She wins. She started with a 5-shot lead, was just dominant through 54 holes. Lydia Ko put a scare, certainly in her position at the top of the leaderboard, but it never got to one, right? It was always two. She had a margin to withstand a 62, a course record tying round.
Well, it was crazy, too, because she eagled the second hole, and she gets off to this, like, dream start. And meanwhile, she, like, lost ground on her lead because of how good Ko was. Ko's round was astounding. Yep. Un- unbelievable final round. And, you know, you have to think in almost any other situation, she wins running away herself. But, you know, Tavatanakit, she played so well all week. I mean, four straight rounds in the 60s. Really was playing a different golf course than everybody else and did it with, you know, who knows what this could be. I mean, she's 21. She's technically a rookie. She is extraordinarily long and see, you know, what could come of her career. Obviously, it's been her career thus far has been really, really impressive. And she was the low am at the ANA a few years ago, low am at the U.S. Women's Open at Shoal Creek, you know, where she had top five. And two-time All-American, turned pro, Rookie of the Year on the Symetra Tour. So this is something we shouldn't be too surprised about. This is a maybe potentially future superstar.
Yeah, she seemed, you know, I wouldn't say she was bursting with personality in the interviews and stuff, but she seemed, and I mean this as a compliment more than anything, she seemed just kind of a steady sort of kind of killer, right? A steady, really sort of doesn't unperturbed on anything. And you see, it probably comes in handy when you see Lydia Ko going, you know, 8 under through 10, and you're also sleeping on a 5-shot lead as a technically a rookie. She just was kind of a total flatline.
You know, she was that way on the golf course too. It's so rare to see someone in that situation. She's never really been holding a lead, and playing with a big lead is not as easy as it seems. Like, obviously you want a big lead,
right?
But when you start losing ground, or, you know, losing your advantage, you start to race and things speed up, and it just seemed like it never sped up for her. She played so well. I mean, it was just a really impressive, dominant performance.
Yep, absolutely. I never understand this. She did not look at a single leaderboard all day. She talked about the self-control of not doing that. That just seems crazy. We've encountered this with other people. I think, wasn't it Amy Olsen? Didn't she do this at Houston maybe? She did it at Evian the one time she lost it, I think, to Angela Stanford. But that seems crazy to me. Is that a thing you do? Do you ever just, I mean, I don't know what competitive, it's not like they have leaderboards.
When I see my name on a leaderboard at like State Am, like the worst thing that could happen. It usually quickly tumbles off the leaderboard shortly after.
It just seems hard for me. I would like play at 18. Like technically she could have been tied. She goes wedge and two putts for her par. I mean, it didn't seem like anyone was really going for that too much with no wall and the backboard there.
They should have moved the tee up further.
That seems crazy to me to not have any sense of what it's like. You're in basketball and you don't know if you're down two or three and what kind of shot you should take or tied. It just seems like
quick sidebar.
You Saturday
did
night.
You watch that basketball game?
Yeah. I screamed. I was watching on my phone. Yeah. And I screamed out loud. Yep.
That was like the best basketball game I may have ever watched. And like everybody gets confused. Like, oh, let's talk about this year. Just for the entire game, the high level of play. Like, both teams played so well the entire game. It wasn't like a okay game with a great finish. It was like an astoundingly great game for the entire regular, but never mind about, but that game was, God, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was so fun.
I was still like buzzing about it.
Monday will be hard to live up to that game, right? Again, it was not the half court shot. It was like, you don't see college games get to 90 points or 80.
How about that pass that he made? The play that's going to go overlooked is the block, and then that full court bounce pass was
right.
That was like one of the best continuous plays I've ever seen in my life.
Yep, that was sweet. All right, so back to Patty. Never looks at the leaderboard. Cruises.
Hey, she probably was mourning her UCLA Bruins loss.
Oh, that's true. How about UCLA, the gritty underdog? You know, they're talking about
gritty little Bruin, Corey Payton.
taking on the personality of Corey Pavin. So, but they did get it back at the ANA. Any other reactions from the first major? I mean, Lydia Ko, she's talking about it afterwards. Like, they're going to talk about how I'm back. I'm sure. That's amazing to me, too. She's walking down the fairway, and she's contemplating or thinking about what they must be saying out there in the media now. Are they talking about Lydia's back? It's like, I don't really care if I'm back or not. She really does seem to be completely at peace with who she is, how she plays golf, whether she wins, whether she top fives it, or whether she blows it at the end. Remember when she blew it in Toledo? She didn't. She just seems to have like a great attitude about it.
In a way, this thing had a little, like, it wasn't completely like Phil and Stenson at Troon.
Yeah.
Because they weren't together going into the round and hadn't separated it going into it. But in a way, like, I mean, Lydia Ko finished five clear of third.
Right. There was nobody like, else. It wasn't a great, besides Ko making her 62, there wasn't like a ton, like, again.
But this speaks to Tana Tavakit and how incredible she played.
She just surgically kind of cut it up. Right,
the power, unbelievable. What she did that golf course, and it'll be interesting to see what the next 5-10 years, how they play out on the LPGA, and see if she becomes really dominant with that power, because it's hard, like, I mean, she averaged 326 off the tee.
323. Yeah.
My bad.
What is that? How many drives is that measured? Two.
Probably two. Maybe.
Yeah,
it was super firm out there too. I thought the course played really, really, really well. Like, it made a big difference if you're in the fairway, if you're in the rough, in terms of approaching the greens. They had like a good thud to them. It was a fun watch. One other thing, I just love watching MB Park hit shots.
Yeah. What, the poof ball and then just like make it grinder, you know?
The
somehow.
Irons are just surgical.
Yeah.
They're just incredible.
But other than that, like, it was pretty drama free. It was great to watch Lydia Ko put a course record round together. But the one moment it felt in doubt was 15 green, and Patty, you know, drilled that, what was it, 15 footer maybe for par. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where it felt like it could have cut to one, and, you know, Ko still got the par five, and that felt like real moment. But after it, I think she made that par, it felt like there wasn't going to be a crack. So, all right, congrats to Patty Tavatanakit. Seems like we'll be saying that name quite a bit. All right, on to the Texas Open.
We play, you know, I can't think of her without thinking about Patty Cake, because my wife always sings Patty Cake to Josie.
The baby. Yeah. Another opportunity for a great Patty on the LPGA. Patty Berg. She'd probably be the second greatest Patty if she keeps this up. All right. Texas Open. Jordan Spieth wins after, what, 1,400 days? It's been the 2017.
I don't know if
Royal
you heard.
Birkdale.
Spieth has risen.
That one
got a little bit of play. Got a little play today.
A little bit. That was, yeah. Meatball over the middle. A lot of people took a cut. So this podcast didn't exist. Well, how many episodes have we had since Spieth last won? I mean, this podcast was still a year plus in the making before last time he won. It's been a long-ass time when you think about it. I know we kind of focus on and dwell on, like, sort of the recent duct tape and car crashes and
listen,
searching,
we just
wandering
being
the woods,
real.
But it's been a long ass time. We're kind of neglect the three prior years. So it was
awesome to have
Sunday.
Him back. I mean, this has been coming. He's played outstanding the entire first 4 months of the golf season. So this was something that was coming. This was not a. This wasn't smoke and mirrors. This wasn't, you know, chipping in seven times to, you know, to shoot 63 and backdoor a top 10. You know, this was, he's been playing outstanding. It's been just a matter of time before he won. And, he got it done. Not necessarily the best week to get it done, week before the Masters, historically. That being said, I think he's got to be what, short list, two, three favorites? Like DJ, him?
Thick Boy. I saw DJ and Thick Boy on some places are ahead of him, but like barely. I don't know that I like either of them more than Speed, to be honest with you, right now, right? Can you have
but
too much momentum?
To have him, great to have him back in the winner's circle. I mean,
it was cool.
This is like the this is honestly what the sport needs.
Yeah.
Like Tiger, Tiger with his, like Jordan Spieth, he has that gravitational pull.
Yeah.
That
needle, you could say even. It might be needle-ish.
Wasn't trying to say that. I was trying.
I seemed like you were thinking about it. Trying not.
I was
not
thinking
to say
of alternatives. Gravitational pull was. It does. He moves. He makes a difference. People talk about Spieth that are casual onlookers.
It's incredible value to the sport to have him around. It just, God, how shitty was that 8-iron on 18 that he hit? It's just, he looked like me.
He was standing over, the tee shot I had, I just had the willies a little bit too. Like I'm sitting there like, oh, this might not go well. The iron though.
It's an 8-iron.
I didn't understand why he was hitting it to the left there.
What was that all about?
I don't know. It's so small. It's such a small little area over there. Like, you got all the room in the world, right? And you actually had a better angle in. I didn't understand what they were doing there.
It was amazing. And as it always is, to listen to him talk after the round, the press, the one tee shot he was talking about after Charlie Hoffman, the Texas Open unofficial host, had chipped in on him. I think you want to say 14 or 15. And Spieth was like very adamant, like that, like recently in recent years, that tee shot is just an absolute disaster for me. Like he had just, you know, put the pressure on, like no chance do I have no chance on that tee shot. He's like, and I like kind of peered one down the middle. And so it's kind of still in there. It's fascinating to hear him talk about. You know, I think he's super confident, but then it creeps up on him like the 8-iron at 18. But fantastic to have him back. Go ahead.
It provides, as a character, I think Spieth is going to be so much more compelling now.
Yeah.
Because he's got depth. He's not just like the wonder kid that never went through anything and just was phenomenal at golf. Like, he went through real adversity, and we've seen it with other big-time players. Westwood is one that went through something similar to this a couple years. Henrik Stenson, like, legitimately couldn't hit a golf ball for a little while.
Right.
Like, this happens to people. And I think the amount of effort that he had to put in to get back will give him a different type of perspective and could make him more dangerous because of it.
Yep, I think he, you know, sometimes we view these sort of triumphant moments as like they need to be paid off with tears. You know, it's like, oh, I want to, and it's like the interviewers actually like try to go for it. Felt like he was, whether he cried or not, didn't matter. Like, we know what he's been through. It seemed like he was close to getting emotional because, gosh, it's been like such a long road. And like put his head in his hands. And then continued on and said, you know, this is a monumental win. This event is not, you know, despite the purse, despite their pain to get put in front of the Masters, is not a high profile event on the PGA Tour, relatively speaking. But the win means something different.
National Open.
Time and place. Yeah.
You are just kind of dissing a National Open.
It sucks. I mean, it's not a great event, right?
No.
You know?
No.
But hey, when Spieth wins it, it absolutely is. Can you
have
too much momentum?
A win's a win. A win is a win.
Can you have too much momentum? Could the car just go straight through the
turn? I thought you don't even believe in momentum.
Straight through the guardrail and over the cliff.
A couple years ago, you said momentum doesn't exist. What is this heel turn here?
I'm trying to get you stirred up here. Because now you're saying it's bad. It's bad for his Masters chances.
Nobody wins 2 weeks in a row.
Phil did it at the old Bell South, TPC Sugarloaf, and then went and won the Masters in 06, I think it was. So, yeah, that seems hard going back to back. Didn't DJ go back to back when winning Memphis? Maybe not. All right. Yeah, hey, no, it was fantastic. What else you got from...
Brandel was tweeting something about him working with Duffner?
Yeah, yeah, he talked about that. Yeah. Speed talked about it in his press conference. He's like, we, you know, Duff's a friend. A lot of people respect his thoughts on the swing. Duff gets really into that stuff. He's like a total nerd. Remember he was doing stuff with like Elkington and like studying Hogan and Swain? That's not totally unsurprising, right? Are you taken aback by that?
No, but I think it represents like a little bit of a change was made, you know, in the Spieth camp.
Yeah, I guess. You saw Butch, and people tried to make a lot out of that he was working with Butch. But yeah, maybe a different voice, a little outside
voice.
I don't think you'll hear that, though. They're going to stay fiercely, you know, I'm fiercely loyal to Cameron McCormick, probably. I would imagine, right? Anything else from Texas with Spieth? You know, we have Charlie Hoffman. It's kind of
how about him banging? I mean, the other thing about this win is he took down the greatest player in Texas Open history. That's the other aspect about this that's getting a little overlooked. He did that. He took home the 500 FedEx Cup points. This is the most FedEx Cup points he's won in a week in what, 1,300 days?
Yeah.
What is it? 1420? What's the number? I've seen a million tweets about it, but I can't be 1326 or something.
I stopped paying attention to it. No. It's something like that. 1400, somewhere between 13 and 1400. A lot of FedEx Cup points when you haven't had a lot of points in the bank recently.
You are right, though. This tournament stinks. Like, outside of Spieth winning, the event really has nothing else going for it.
All right, now we're just crushing it. I mean, it is nice to have fans. I mean, whether it does add something.
Is it nice?
Especially when Spieth is cooking. In Texas, yeah, it was great.
Rick had his best finish since like last June.
So his streak of 42 majors in a row is over for the Rick. So that's what, 10 years, a little bit more, 42 in a row. He opened with that 76, but you know, gamely fought back. I think his stats were profile, the strokes gained were actually not horrible. So we don't need to drive by shoot Rick, but his major streak is over. But it's impressive. Not impressive, but it's an encouraging development for Ricky. Anything else from Texas Open that jumped off the page? It was just. Became the Spieth show. I kind of felt like he was going to win, right? I mean, he felt like he's been going to win since that run out west. This just kind of felt like it was coming. And then even at the start of the week, it was like, I almost took him in a one-and-done league I'm in. And I'm kicking myself, obviously. Now, I took Charlie Hoffman, so it's not that big a punch. But I don't know. This just felt like it was coming based on the underlying statistics, based on the repeated contention, based on... It's crazy how he just was back all of a sudden. Phoenix. He's just back. Right? There wasn't like a 3-month run where he made all his cuts and he finished top 25s. It was just like all of a sudden he's in final groups on Sunday again. He's just back. I thought it happened quickly. Is that something you can get? Am I wrong?
I mean, I feel like one of the things though, when he wasn't on, his bottom wasn't as deep as a lot of other people's bottoms. Like when he was struggling, he was still like, it was like T42, T52, yeah. T42. And him being like, oh, I have no clue where the ball's going, but still being able to get it done, you know? It's, you know, something I wasn't sure we were going to have back is like him in the discussion with JT is like better career, him in that same group with like Brooks and all like I kind of thought that might have been gone a few yeah. months ago, and it's just great to have. Like, I can't overstate how awesome it is that he won.
So we're all going to freak out about the Masters, right? And deserve he should be a favorite. It's crazy that we're saying that, but are we? Could we be? You're talking about career stuff. Could we be talking about like career slam stuff with him in the
yeah.
next month?
Is, I think,
how does
I think
it, set up for that?
I actually think he'll set up well. I think obviously distance is a great one at Kiowa. You know, it's great anywhere, but I don't think it's that important at Kiowa. It's going to be windy. It's going to be hard. The one thing that I do worry about is like you're going to have to drive the ball well, and that's still one thing that I wonder about. But I think for the most part, I think that's a golf course he can win at.
As opposed to the Bellerives and Bethpages.
Yeah,
and maybe
or Torrey Pines. Type.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think it's... First...
Go ahead.
You go. Now you go.
With the wind, it just kind of comes in a little bit. It's a little different in extreme. He missed his first three fairways today, so the driving still can be... Leave, you know, he scrambled to make some putts and get stay, you know, keep it together with the duct tape or Flex Seal, whatever it may be.
All Billy right. Mays.
I don't think it's Billy Mays. I think it's a Billy Mays knockoff that does those. I posted the video. I didn't bother to look at his name. I don't think it's Billy. All right, moving on. Sandestin, the goat.
Steven Yeager.
Classic 4A. He's getting called up here this summer. He's going to be on the 40-man roster. He wins in Sandestin. I got a three-minute message from Michael Wolf, Bama Bearcat. I got tweeted at by Jay Revel, who's also, or Jay Revel. I don't pronounce names right. I'm sorry, Jay. Asking for clarification on the Redneck Riviera. Apparently, it starts... In Sandestin. Sandestin Resort is very nice. And then east of that in the panhandle is quite nice and spacious and roomy. And then west of that is the Redneck Riviera. And they're both fun, but they're just both unique. I have to issue an apology. I guess Destin proper may not be the Redneck Riviera. I got an at-length sort of message from Michael.
You should issue an apology for putting the event of the week so far deep in the show. We still haven't talked about Anwa. We're talking
about Saturday. It was Saturday. We'll talk about Anwa in a second. We're going to do drive, chip, and putt next.
Oh, God.
Are you prepped on that? Do you have all the winners in this set?
Listen, I have no problem. This is not an anti. I'm not anti drive, chip, and putt. I just think there's a million things that deserve exponentially more attention in golf than the amount of attention that drive, chip, and putt receives once a year.
I am fully on board with you on that. I came to it today. I was just like, you know, this just doesn't do it for me anymore. Like, I'm not saying it shouldn't exist. They don't need to get rid of it. They can keep putting it on. It's just never going to land with me. And it seems like at this point more a cause for like certain stakeholders, voices, and megaphones to celebrate themselves. You know, mm-hmm. Talking about, oh, so great. This is so, oh, so warm. Like, I don't know. Jack Nicklaus is tweeting about how it made him feel 18 again. I doubt he watched a single minute of that. You know, it's fine. They don't need to get rid of it. It's cool. But I thought it was cool the first few years to see kids at Augusta National where, you know, it's hard to get into and it's exclusive and it's hard to get beyond the walls of that, this, that, and the other. But, like, it just doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't do anything.
I'm
I had
not
it on
in
the background.
On the
I never looked.
I don't like the competition at all.
Friend of the program today asked me, like, do you know how it's scored? I was like, no, I have no clue. And you know what? If I cared, I probably would seek that out. I don't know how it's scored. I assume the drive part is just how far you hit it within a grid. But there's no intuitive sense of how it's scored, and it just seems hard to keep track of. It's just always like kids. Bubba loves it. Bubba, nobody loves the cameras for drive, chip, and putt more than Bubba. He's, you know, frolicking out there every year. You can count on
weekend.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
You know why? He's probably trying to get out of Redneck Riviera. Trying to get out of there while so busy. The candy shop is just slam. He's got to get up to Augusta, avoid spring break.
That's true. That's true. No, that, we're popping the drive chip and putt. I'm not saying it needs to go away.
It sounds like you hate children.
It's not.
That's what I'm taking away.
That's the thing. I have kids. I don't like.
Brendan Porath hates children.
I don't know what's. I have no idea what's happening on it. I just don't. I'm sorry. That's it. That's great. It's over and analyzed and over promoted. All right. Steven Yeager. He's the GOAT. He's the greatest. Corn Ferry Tour, Web Tour, Nike, Buy.com, Ben Hogan Tour. So what? This tour is deeper than it ever was.
Here's the other thing. He's only won on the tour with two names. I want to see him win for another title sponsor. He's only won on Web.com and Corn Ferry. We need him to win one more title sponsor before I give him the GOAT title.
He didn't win nationwide? Is that possible? Could he have snuck a nationwide tour win? Probably not.
I don't think so.
I think Corn Ferry's on for like win, a decade or something.
His first win was 2016 Ellie Mae.
Okay.
At Stonebrae. That was when he shot 58.
Yeah.
That 58 doesn't get enough credit, too.
That course is hard, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Can it be hard out there? So you always say Flanagan is the GOAT, but they say he's coming for Jason Gore win total. Gore maybe has the career mark. He talks about, like, he says that, but then on the other hand, it's like getting back to the big show too, of course, and playing out there. So it's an incredible accomplishment, but then you also have to append on, like, hey, yeah, I also want to play on the big tour. So.
Yeah, Flanagan only won four times.
Oh,
it's not you don't want to be the all time winningest.
I mean, I bet Ricky would take it. Where it's a distinction of some sort.
He's in the Swedish Pancake Club of Corn Ferry Tour. Six wins.
I mean, it's a testament to longevity, grinding it out. It's like Sonny Kim, all-time money leader on the minor league golf tour. One thing, it's maybe not a place you want to be for a long time, but another thing, it's a testament to his determination. So he wins. He beats David Lipsky in a playoff. So Lipsky back playing over in the States. Andrew Novak.
You know where Lipsky went to college?
I do, actually. I do. Matt Fitzpatrick, School of... journalism, golf, Northwestern in Evanston. I did know that. So that's your Sandestin Emerald Coast Classic winner. All right, let's move on to event
now,
of the week.
He's now one win away from the battlefield.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Because he won Boise last year. And it's that super season, right?
Do they do the battlefield with the super season? I could see him getting, being sneaky and saying it doesn't count this year. We got to protect the members up top, protect J.J. Henry and people like that.
You know what's surprising? This is the biggest shock of the Corn Ferry Tour season. Corn Ferry Tour member Will Zalatoris has just been MIA. He's a member of the Corn Ferry Tour.
Getting no points.
I think it's disrespectful. That he's just abandoned his tour. He's a member of the Corn Ferry Tour, not a member of the PGA Tour. I don't know what he's doing, but he needs to get back and play on the tour that he belongs to.
Where his membership is, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like you just running off to Florida for several months, just abandoning your people and your home.
I hope everybody knows that I was being extraordinarily sarcastic there.
They do, I hope. If they don't.
You never know.
They probably shouldn't be listening to this, or they would have given up a long time ago. All right, ANWA, Augusta National Women's Amateur, are Kajetani. Sabusha Kajetani wins, beats Emilia Migliaccio, Migliaccio. They were going aggressive with the pronunciations on the broadcast. Like we were in Paris with the girl from South Carolina.
I don't know if you heard.
Pauline Racine Bouchard and Migliaccio, who's an American, went to Wake Forest, but that ends with a vowel, so they were giving it the full pronunciation treatment.
Did you hear that she's a writer?
Novelist. It's going to become a colleague of ours, apparently, working for Golf Channel. Com or yeah. Website,
congratulations on the new gig.
Yeah, congrats are in order. Absolutely. But what'd you think? Did you watch this? I watched it all day.
I watched it all day. It seemed like nobody wanted to win. Like every time somebody got the lead, it was like they threw up on themselves.
The play was not great. The putting was really, really bad. And like, let's context here. You know, they play like one practice round. Did you hear how brutal that practice round was? Apparently it was blowing. Ryan Lavner was talking about it. Apparently it was blowing 25 out of the north, which is like their one of their toughest winds there. And like rock hard. He said all the came off the course. The word he used was spooked. He said none of the par fives were reachable. None. They're hitting hybrids and woods into 18, hitting like four irons into all the par fours. This is a practice round. And like that's like the only time they're seeing the course. They come out the next day. The greens were more receptive. Wasn't blowing as much. But like the putting was really bad. And you don't want to be like, you don't want to rip them. It just wasn't great.
It was exciting. You know, the golf was exciting to watch because, you know, you had no sense of who, like Migliaccio was talking about. Like I did not expect to even be in this playoff, you know, like she finished and she played an unbelievable round. Her and Roussard were just unbelievable. In terms of their final round, especially in comparison to everybody else in those last groups. But, it's a hard golf course, and it was firm. It was playing fast, and you hit it in the wrong spots, and you could tell inexperience too. Like, you know, I think inexperience plays a big part in some of that. You know, you just saw people making some bad decisions out there.
Yeah,
Rozan going for it on 13.
13. Right, after she had already hooked her drive, you know, couldn't find the ball, and makes a snowman. Lindblad was just like hammering putts through, you know, 15 feet past when she had like eagle chances and things like that. It was not like Cup Show, you know, just stuffing it at 13 and 15 and Fosse as well. It was a different kind of play. I still enjoyed it quite a bit, you know. Even though the play was not exemplary. So it was good. I didn't mind the jockeying. It felt like everybody could come, you know, everybody had a chance. And Migliaccio was whatever, a couple hours ahead or an hour and a half ahead. Anyways, I did.
Hey, you lost your bet.
South USC, the fake USC.
We found out who the real USC was this week. University of South Carolina hung Roussin Broussard finished T3rd, highest finisher of any of the USCs. And then also, it was Anna Pelez Trevino. Trevino.
Lee's Trevino. Lee's granddaughter. Lee's granddaughter. Lee Trevino's granddaughter, I believe.
She's Spanish. She's Seve's.
Not spelled different.
I'm surprised that they didn't ask her about what Seve meant to her. They were the top two USC finishers, both South Carolina.
All right.
Seems like you're doubting the true USC.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a home game for them. I should have factored that in. And they're playing next door at Augusta National. One thing that kept amusing the hell out of me. So they started an hour late because of frost. Then it was supposed to end at 3:00. It went to like 4:20, 4:30. Tirico had to keep saying thank you to the PGA Tour because they're supposed to do Texas Open. And Texas Open relegated to a golf channel, the cable, and not network television. And I just thought, I was like giggling. He said it four or five times again, thank you to the PGA Tour. It's just like, A, that's the might of Augusta National. You're never going to see the women's amateur, whether even if it's the U.S. women's amateur, I think, bump the PGA Tour, no matter what it is, the Texas Open, the McGladrey, whatever event it might be, off of what they're supposed to be on. And Augusta says, yes, you're not, we're not going anywhere for the Texas Open. And B, that they have to just express this gratitude to the tour for finally, you know, humbly accepting their place on cable. That kept amusing me late on Saturday as it ran over. So
monumental moment, though, for women's golf, just getting pushing the tour, like the them staying on. That was great,
right? No, it was cool. It was cool. Anything else? This event, I feel like, has a life, right? Has a real future. No, I mean, yeah, I don't think it conflicts with the ANA. It's a 3-hour window on Saturday.
Well, I think one of the things is that AMs have to decide between the two. That's where I have a problem.
That is
that
where
they
you
have to decide between playing in a major championship and then playing at Augusta. Like, that's ridiculous. That shouldn't be a thing. Like, we just saw it today. Like, a low AM at the ANA ended up winning this year. Like,
yeah,
that happened. And they're taking that opportunity away. That's the problem, really.
I did hear on TV that it was called the most important amateur event to these women, which, you know, come August, that's probably a different, they say something else on TV, but I guess that's already there. So I think it works okay with a 3-hour window on Saturday when the ANA, I'm talking about pure TV, there's not like a competitor, right? That's on the West Coast and it's still the third round, but I understand from sort of a choosing which to play conflict. Absolutely. All right. Let's get to news. It's Masters week. We're very excited. We'll have podcasts all week. We'll have that live hangout on Friday with Bixby subscribers. Maybe bring Pauly in. I see Woozy's possibly at Waffle House. Woozy after year off.
I saw
off,
Woozy.
Coming back.
I got sent some confidential video of Woozy grinding on a range.
Really?
Yeah.
In Georgia?
Yeah. Or working hard. Last week. He was grinding. I can't share.
Oh, we also. What?
Unfortunately, yeah, it's bullshit. The video was asked to not be shared.
Your source. We also have visual confirmation on the ground that the suspenders are back. The braces, suspenders are back for Mr. Flimper, Sandy Lyle. So that's more
intel.
Think,
do you want to do a head-to-head Woozy versus Lyle?
Yes. Oh, this is where I was going at. Or Pauly, we think we'll do a little picks.
Oh, we might do
fun.
A pool.
We might do a pool. TBD.
Maybe we could put it in the pool.
Most content creators have their Masters plan well intact by now, but we are figuring it out.
We have
out
one
tomorrow.
Thing planned Friday sometime
yeah,
at some point Friday.
Yeah.
We're going to do
something.
But
Woozy is just gobbling down waffles at the Waffle House. You ever been to Waffle House?
I haven't. I really want to go. I do want to go. It's an experience that I feel like I've missed out on. Have you been?
No. Not that I can recall.
Maybe
when
we
I was
can
very
go
young.
Together.
There's probably so many people that are just triggered by this. Two idiots from the Midwest. Never been to the Waffle House.
Maybe we could
for like an AAU basketball tournament when I was a kid, but I don't think I've ever been. Yeah, we could do that. We could do that. We could make content. I'm kidding. We'll never make content. But we could go. We could try it.
We could follow each other around with video cameras and make content.
Debating, making our orders at the Waffle House. Well, anyways, Woozy seemed absolutely just delighted, impressed. Couldn't believe it. I don't know if they just don't have that kind of fare in Jersey, the tax haven island where he
do
now
you think
resides.
Woozy's going to be there every morning now. Do you think he's just going to go back every day?
I mean, he's going to have a blocked artery by opening round Thursday.
I don't think he cares. It's a good way to soak. Waffle House seems like a good place to soak up things from night before.
That's right. He's, you know, he didn't play last year because his health is so poor. He's not great, and it's hard for him to get around the course. And was it a strict diet of ale and, you know, greasy morning food? Ale at night, just drowning himself in, you know, some sort of Welsh beer at night and greasy southern diner food on the mornings. That's, I mean, hey, he's back. So other Masters news besides Woozy going to the Waffle House.
Brooks
is there playing, allegedly.
Taking
he's getting
shots.
Chippy on Twitter. Brad Faxon's rumor mongering about him being out 6 to 8 months.
We'll see, though. He could be out by Saturday, yeah. Right?
You're right. Now we're going to get a week of, oh, he's down. He's hobbling. He's it's just, I don't feel good. I don't know. We'll see. It's great to have him there. I think he told Bob Herrig or somebody, like, I wouldn't show up if, you know, to try and get second place. You know, he's playing because he thinks he can still win. So, but the field is made better.
Do you think Woozy thinks he can win?
No, actually, I don't. Or else he wouldn't be at the Waffle House, just gobbling down hash browns and things like that.
Brooks Waffle House there. Might not even have hash browns for all we know.
No. That now you look like an idiot. That I know is like a big deal. Like scramble. Yeah, that's a big part of their whole, I don't know, cultural impact. All right. Brooks is there. John Rahm, not there, but appears like he will be there. Had his child. I think there was some social media posts about that, if I'm not mistaken.
Emilio Miliaccio's
a novelist. John Rahm's had a kid.
Getting in on other people's personal news to use it for impressions. It's a retweet button doesn't work. Can't just have to rip the photo and post it all around.
Make your own caption. I feel bad. This kid is crying on the TV now. Drive, chip, and putt. It seems kind of exploitative, actually. Well, they got the replay on as we're recording. That's exploitative.
Well, with the new amateur rules, they can make money now.
they're making content out of this kid's tears. It's terrible. Yeah, so Rahm, you know,
does it compare for you to the Little League World Series?
I mean, I think the Little League, yeah, that's just gone way too far too. They're doing like qualifiers now and all this crazy shit.
I can't stand the Little League World Series.
I don't know. I never get into that. But at least if I sit down and watch it, I understand what's happening. It's still baseball. You know, you hit the ball, you run from first to second to third and home. The drive, chip, and putt, it's just they're all whacking away. And I don't even know what they're going for.
And then they just go from, like, one section to another. Like, there's right? no kind of way to follow it. Like, one player hits, and then you don't see him for another 2 hours.
Yes.
It's like, oh, it's back to Tommy Nagashima, who's hitting his putt, and it's like, well, I forgot what Tommy did with his drive.
They really downplay the competitive element of it just to kind of, you know, pat themselves on the back that kids are there and playing at all. You can't follow it intuitively, and it's like a 5-hour broadcast. It's on from 8 to like lunch. It's crazy.
It seems like something that would be best watched post-produced. It doesn't need to be live. It doesn't seem like a live television product.
Anyways, Beth, congrats to all the kids for making it there. Played well. A good event. I'm glad they do it. Keep it going. I'm just probably not going to be invested in it going forward. All right. So Rahm will be there. That's great. You know, probably beware of the new dad, new perspective. You know, fatherhood has changed him. We'll get that a lot by Thursday morning. I'm sure you can put that on your bingo card.
Should we make a bingo card?
We could do that. I love people are just listening to us kind of hash out our sort of content plan for the week here. So Rahm will be in the field. Brooks will be in the field. That is a good deal. Course conditions. Did you take anything away from watching Anwa, from watching Drive, Chip, and Putt? I'm kidding. On how the course might play this week. How
Let
the
me
range
tell you,
play
I saw
the
a shot, Drive, Chip, and Putt. I saw this chip that just told me everything. Now, I mean, I think the course seems to be in perfect shape. I think so much of it is what happens during the week. It doesn't sound like there's any rain. I haven't done any investigative reporting yet. That's tomorrow's job. I'm going to get really dig into the
forecast.
This
is not a Masters preview. This is more of an ANA, Anwa, Texas recap stuff.
I think that they have the golf course exactly where they want it. And that's so rare because Mother Nature usually disagrees. And I can't remember the last time we had a Masters where rain wasn't a part of it.
A storm. Yeah. Something soaked it down. And they get that kitty litter out there. Yeah. I feel like at least there's something that pops them during the week. I don't know. I read some Jeff Shackelford notes on it. Obviously listened to Lavner, listened to some of the players on the weekend. And of course, we're getting hyped from Westy saying it's as hard as he's ever seen it. From Spieth hearing rumors that it's been as firm and fast as people have ever seen it. And it did seem to play that way on Saturday. Not a lot of plugging, not a lot of, darts. It was kind of the thud, as you say, as you've written so eloquently about before. But it does seem like we're tuned. It's tuned up for a very... Do you think they're mad about DJ going, setting new marks and the mud balls? I don't think it's a reaction to that, but...
I think they're just... I'm guessing how they want it to be set up every year. It's just... you don't get to set it up this way every year because shit happens.
Yep. All right, that's all I got for news. Anything else you want to talk about after this weekend? Great day. Great weekend all around. Great Sunday. Start to finish. You have anything? You have the floor. It's your podcast. Anything you want to say before we sign off?
I got nothing else.
I'm glad you're back.
It's Masters week. I'm back in the dungeon. I'm ready to lock in.
Yep.
Subscribe to Bixby. I got my two screens back. It's pretty exciting.
Your internet's might be reliable now. You were always bitching about your internet down there in Florida, while throwing accusations at me for my internet.
Your video went out tonight. Your internet stinks.
Can you not see me?
It went out earlier. You came back.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll have plenty of podcasts, probably daily during the tournament. Maybe a little extra Paulie's picks on Woozy and Lyle and Larry Mize and folks like that. And then subscribe to Bixby if you want to be a part of that little Friday party. It's a consumable good. A lot of these people, folks are doing subscribe. Donate to my this, that, and the other, and we'll give you these goodies. If you drink coffee, this is something, we're going to do as much as we can to make your purchase of that coffee a little extra special, right? I mean,
if you go to Starbucks,
you spend $5 every freaking time now. This is a bag that makes several pots, multiple pots. We're trying to give you something you consume otherwise and, add a little sugar to it with this little Friday show. I think it's going to be a fun time. Miles is a ball of energy. He'll bring a fun element to it as well.
Listen, if enough people subscribe, we'll start following each other around with cameras.
Nobody wants that.
Maybe at some point.
Nobody wants that. We'll never have to sell out to anything. How about that? Not that we ever would, but it will firmly entrench ourselves as, not having to sell out to some sugar daddy of some sort. All right. Everyone enjoy your week. We're off the rails. A lot of podcasts coming. This is a fantastic day. It'll be a great Masters week ahead. You want to say something? It looked like you're about to lean in and shout something in a microphone.
I'm done. I've got a lot of... Got lots of pods to talk about this week. Daily pods.
I got to watch this drive, chip, and putt replay. We'll talk to you tomorrow.